We live in the information age. You heard that before? It probably began with earnest with a substantial use of the internet in the early 90s. And we can find anything we want. Whatever we want. Just search Google and you can find an article and an opinion pieces and dictionary entries on virtually any and all topics. And Google will give you a dozen to hundreds of entries, if not thousands, on a single topic. There's so much information that we often only use the links on the first page alone. And there are several pages you can go to, scrolling out more and more information on the Google page. Because we don't have time to flip through more and more. We just grab the first 10. There's something interesting there. I found it. But in the midst of this tsunami of information, from how to tie your shoe to how to build a gun with a 3D printer, even how to make a bomb, we are missing one key ingredient with how much knowledge, overabundance of knowledge, how intelligent we are. We have so little wisdom. So we have much foolishness. For all the knowledge, we have nothing to show for it, it seems, in many, many regards. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, which you can learn how to profit from silver in Google. And her gain more than fine gold, which again, you can find videos on YouTube and everywhere else telling you how to play the gold market. Wisdom is better than that. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. And you can find all the things you desire on the internet. You'll probably even buy it. Nothing in comparison to the glories of wisdom. Blessedness of wisdom, verse 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. This blessedness, often used in the Old Testament, certainly there in the New Testament, is the idea of happiness, of being in a good state. It's objective. This is important. It is objective. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You are blessed if you have wisdom. You are blessed if you have salvation. You are blessed if you have the Spirit. Don't let the world lie to you. Horatio's song reminds me of this. Not what you feel or do. Not what others tell you or lie to you. But what God says is what counts. He tells you you're blessed if you have wisdom. It's also subjective. The blessedness that is described here, happy is the man, or blessed is the man who finds wisdom, can be subjective, and that's what we're probably used to. I mean, rich people can feel quite miserable in the midst of their riches, as we know Hollywood shows over and over and over again, to the point that they commit suicide. I haven't looked at the suicide numbers, but it's probably pretty high. They're miserable. Now, the blessings typically, of course, are described here in the Proverbs as an objective fact. It just simply is. You are blessed. Doesn't matter what you feel like it or not. It doesn't matter, in fact, if you're rich from your wisdom or not. That you have the right wisdom of God above is a glorious gain indeed. Now, I'm going to stop a little here and explain wisdom, understanding, and knowledge used a number of times together in the Proverbs and in the Psalms in the Old Testament. Sometimes understanding and wisdom, as we see here, we see these two of the three, they're wisdom and we have understanding, and then other times we have knowledge in Proverbs overlapping. Sometimes they're distinct, sometimes they are similar. Here it seems as though it is likely similar. Happy or blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. We have parallelisms in Hebraic poetry, as you recall, where you say the same thing in different words. They're in parallel. It's a parallel idea. Although it looks like they're different because it's the word wisdom and the other word's understanding. The one verb is find and the other verb is gains. But clearly these are parallel. Perhaps they're extending the idea. It could be he finds wisdom, and more than that, he gathers something a little beyond wisdom called understanding. He gains it, and that's called an extended parallelism. But they're obviously very close ideas, one way or the other. Understanding may be shorthand, it seems here, for wisdom, and it has been elsewhere in the Bible. But even if it's not here clearly distinct, wisdom and understanding and knowledge can be separated. That is, intellectually and logically, and I believe are at times in the Bible in their usage. It certainly is by natural law. You can have knowledge of lots of things. Little kids are shoved into their brains. My daughter is at her stage. Name the presidents, right? Name the 50 states. What's your spelling? What's your vocabulary? It's lots of facts. But they don't have much wisdom. And they have little understanding. If we understand, if we take understanding to mean the relationship of the facts towards each other. And then wisdom, what do you do with the knowledge and the relationship of the facts? How do you apply it? That's my general scheme when I talk about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and I believe that's there, and usage at times in the Bible, although here, he's just heaping on the idea of getting the truth, getting the knowledge, getting the understanding, getting the wisdom. They're all overlapping and interpenetrating ideas here in the poetry. Wisdom, the proper application of understanding. Wisdom is found in God's creation. Many of the Proverbs, if you're not aware of it, you will be now. Many of the Proverbs in the Bible are also found in ancient Near East literature. Because I think if you back up and take a deep breath and you start reading the Proverbs again and pretend you never knew about it before, you realize how commonsensical 99% of it is. It's like, well, yeah, no, duh. Of course. These observations are universal. They're part of God's natural creation. Now, of course, they're fallen, and they make mistakes, and they make excuses for it. We have none of that. We have more light, more revelation with the Word of God. Many of the Proverbs are similar elsewhere. Wisdom at home, wisdom at work, and wisdom in society is clearly expressed in the Proverbs. So when he talks about here, happy is the man who finds wisdom, he's not specifying which wisdom, just wisdom. It's God's wisdom, of course. Of course it is. It's in the book of Proverbs. That's what he's talking about. It's Yahweh's wisdom, the covenant-keeping God. He gives us wisdom, not just in his Bible, but in creation, from one another, the things we observe and how we see cause and effect and keep doing the same thing and this keeps happening. And you learn these things and you pass on these lessons to one another. Both in everyday life, homework, work, society work, how things work and how people think. This is wisdom. Applying what we know to solve problems and fix things and to expand God's kingdom in our life. Now, of course, wisdom is found in God's creation. And we especially see it when we are illuminated by the Spirit, although unbelievers see it. But it's even clearer and more focused in His Word. We see it often here in the Bible, the wisdom of David, the foolishness of Saul. We have these contrasts at times in the Bible. Clearly, Saul was foolish, an angry king who wanted to do his things his way. On the flip side, you had David, who was wise, gentle with the king, trying to kill him. The illustrations are there. It's there by explicit proclamation in Proverbs, of course, what is wisdom and what wisdom teaches you about everyday life, not just doctrine, not just theology, but just how to live. It's here in the Bible. Wisdom in particular is found in God's law, the law and the gospel. Here in the law, we read in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. This is one after another, hammering home how we can get wisdom from God's law and how it helps us as Christians live a pleasing life to the Lord and a more peaceful life. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul and makes wise the simple. The one who is lacking knowledge is called simple. Three different types of the word fool or simple in Hebrews, in Hebrew language. The lowest form, the one who's simple, who doesn't have, he's missing information. He needs to learn more. Usually that's children, someone new to the faith perhaps. Wisdom is here. God's law gives us this wisdom. We certainly see that in our society today where there's so little wisdom in our politics and foolishness and manipulation and the like, when a number of issues could be solved if we just simply follow God's law. The law is so much a part of wisdom and the wisdom literature, which is what this is called, the poetry sections of the Old Testament. There's an entire chapter dedicated to it, children. Did you know that? To God's wisdom, in particular, the law wisdom. Psalm 119. Check it out, kids. It's a long chapter. My daughter's nodding her head. Wisdom's in it. Much wisdom is there. In fact, it's designed as an acrostic. A is for apple, B is for boy, except it's alphabet, hematolic, the whole Hebrew alphabet. If you have a good Bible, it will show you that, although almost meaningless to you because you don't read Hebrew. Just so you know, they're very creative in the Old Testament with their poetry. It's like we are. It's really amazing. Now, wisdom is not only found in God's law, a law written on our hearts that the unbeliever tries to wipe away, of course, and we have it given to us anew in His Word, but it's also and especially found in God's Gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:20 is very clear about this. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer, the arguer, the professional debater in this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. In the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom, we would put air quotes, through worldly wisdom, did not know God. Would not follow Him and His gospel in particular. And the idea there in that text of wisdom is especially the Greek wisdom. They sought out philosophy, the love of wisdom. Sophie, the name is wisdom. And he's arguing they're not going to get it. Because they're not submitting to the gospel. On the flip side, the Jews don't get it either. They want miracles. God gave them miracles. They still didn't believe. Either case, the Jew and the Gentile, they're thinking they're being wise when they're actually foolish. So-called wisdom of this world. The gospel gives us the true wisdom of submitting to Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom. The preciousness of wisdom, verses 14 to 16, for her proceeds, that is wisdom and understanding, are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire cannot compare with her. Who says that? I mean, can you imagine preaching this on Wall Street? They need to hear this. They're so obsessed with money. Every second counts. They got those computers just running to make sure every little part of the market, and they'll settle off in a heartbeat. The computer does it for them now. So they don't lose a tenth of a cent, a hundredth of a cent, however much they want to count it. It's more to life than that. Greed makes the American economy run very, very strongly. I remember back a few presidents ago when the president argued, let's make the economy strong again. How, Mr. President? Spend more! Remember that? And you're like, what? Okay. Wisdom, it's greater than spending more to get more, even more than silver, fine gold, and precious rubies. And all things you can desire cannot be compared to true wisdom. Wisdom is worth obtaining more than $1 million, more than $1 billion, if you had to choose. Now, as a point of fact, in poetry here, which is what this is to emphasize and emphatically, which is a true thing we have, wisdom. Is not saying, however, that you can't have wisdom and $1 million and precious rubies and gold. In fact, wisdom often can give you those things. Right? Let's not forget that fact. So as poetry is not making an absolute description here, a discourse or something like that, but trying to grab your attention away from the things that sparkle in this world, like the rubies and the diamonds, to that which truly sparkles, which is wisdom. If you had to choose, you always should choose wisdom, is what it's saying. It's like if we had to choose between prosperity and the gospel, you should always choose the gospel. So, buy it, like the pearl of great price, and bargain for it, the best deal at any price, retain it, never lose it. As you get older, appreciate wisdom all the more, both creation wisdom, both wisdom of the law, and both wisdom of Jesus Christ and the gospel. This is what we ought to do, brothers and sisters. We ought to remind ourselves, read verses like this, and not get caught up in the rat race of today. You ought to work. You ought to try to be somewhat prosperous, not so much that you're obsessed and you forget that wisdom is important. Wisdom is greater than gold and precious silver, better than wealth. These things, the precious metals, the silver, the gold, they will fade away. The economy collapses like some people have predicted for a long time. Gold will be worth nothing anyways, a full collapse. Water will be worth gold. Water will be worth water. It'd be so precious and the like. Wealth is only temporary. Thieves come along, bills and tax collectors take everything you have. Cannot buy happiness with money. You cannot buy heaven with money. You cannot buy wisdom with money. At least, especially the wisdom of the Bible. Although you might get a good teacher or professor if you go to college. Then it continues on here. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Obtaining wisdom often leads to prosperity. I've talked about this before. Statistically and in general, people who have the wisdom and enact that wisdom, because you can sit on it all day long and go nowhere with it, because you're so afraid, as the parable of the talent talks about. Takes the one talent and he buries it instead of multiplying it. You've got to be risky sometimes. But not always. Plenty of brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the Middle East in particular, are not getting prosperity. Because ultimately, the prosperity Proverbs is pointing to is the prosperity of our soul, isn't it? Of heaven. Even of sanctification and the like. But certainly, the physical blessings are not cast aside. The right hand is a right hand of position. And so here it's saying the prosperity that you get is not only from the right hand, it's the left hand. There's so much prosperity, wisdom has it everywhere around her. Not just reserved, as it were, for the special, but for anyone who seeks out the wisdom of God. And the physical blessings that we are given, that God gives his people and his church, is echoed in the New Testament. Here, Christ mentions in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Not in the absolute sense. My daughter's memorizing the Shorter Catechism, I think it was 55 or thereabouts, about the blessings annexed to the fifth commandment. And it, pardon? 65? So she wants to get it right. That's good. And it reminds us there in the catechism that the blessings promised are given to us as far as it glorifies God and to our benefit. God's in control of how much blessing we get. That protects us from the wealth and health prosperity lies out there. Clearly, God does that in the Bible. We see that. There is no one-to-one quid pro quo with God, even as Christians. Nevertheless, we're encouraged to seek out and do what we can, as I preached on prosperity and wisdom here, to encourage you and your children that length of days is there in wisdom and riches and honor. It's there. Wise people preserve life. They don't destroy it. They watch their body. They watch their property. They pay attention. They seek out wisdom so they can avoid death. That's commonsensical even without the Bible. Just natural life. But of course, especially spiritual life above all. The life we have in Jesus Christ. Nothing compares with wisdom, brothers and sisters. Sports, work, school, family, books. Yes, books. Fame, fortune, popularity. But not just wisdom of creation, not just the wisdom of the law, but the wisdom of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:30. We're back to 1 Corinthians again, 1:30. But of him, that is Christ, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is our wisdom. He is our Lord and Master. He is wisdom incarnate. And Proverbs talks about wisdom, remember? From before the beginning of the world, wisdom was there with God. A whole chapter on it. Wisdom. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. He is wisdom incarnate. And He gives us what we need by His blessings through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, with all that you have, get Christ. Get wisdom that He gives, the wisdom of the gospel. You have the wisdom of the gospel. That's why you're here this evening. You believe in Jesus Christ, want to learn more and to be encouraged to persevere in the Christian walk, to persevere in our wisdom, to seek out wisdom, that you're going down the right path. And that's good. Cling to Him through prayer and through word, and ask, as we read in James, that God is a glorious God, a God who wants to bless us. He's a liberal God, it says. He wants to give you more and more wisdom. And He says, ask, and you will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Find the glories of the gospel. Find the glories of wisdom. And James, in particular, tells us to do that. And it continues on here, verses 17 and 18. Her ways, the ways of wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. It's the path of life, the direction, the way we walk. It reminds me of Psalm 1. We sit in the path of righteousness instead of the path of the scorners. We see death. We see foolishness in New York and in California and elsewhere with the murdering of their own populace. It leads to death, unbelief. At the end of the day, if God does not restrain it, becomes complete stupidity and not wisdom at all. God does restrain it, as I said. Many unbelievers do a number of wise things in creation, even with respect to God's law, but none of them have it with respect to the gospel. Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom. You have that Christ. You have that wisdom. Even if you don't feel smart, even if you don't feel the best worker on the job because you're not creative enough, you haven't got enough things done, you're not rich enough, prosperity of Christ, the wisdom that you have in Christ of your soul, the prosperity and the prosperity of heaven to come. That is enough. Do not be discouraged. It's a fruit. The fruit of life and peace even. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life. The tree of life. Wow. Genesis, Proverbs, where else do we have the tree of life? Revelation. Revelation 22:2. Revelation 22:2. These themes overlap. And He showed me a pure river of water, clear as the crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its tree, and on the either side of the tree, was the tree of life. This great imagery, panoramic vision of the future in Revelation, has the tree of life there at the end of the book, telling us that paradise is restored. I think there's a poem about that. Paradise regained because of Christ Jesus, who is our wisdom. He regained it in a way we could have never regained it because we are foolish and have not wisdom without Him. His wisdom, the wisdom of eternal life, is greater than all these earthly blessings, which are there in the Old Testament to urge them on like a carrot, right? Not unlike fear. It's better to have faith. But fear is good if it gets you to do the right thing, along with your faith. It's mixed with your faith, typically, as a Christian, of course, if you're a believer. And same with the physical blessings. It's better just to simply say, I want wisdom and I want to follow Jesus regardless. But God knows our faith is weak, and so in the Old Testament, He gave them a carrot to encourage their weak faith. The New Testament, it's also there to some extent, not as emphasized. Don't forget in Ephesians that the promise of the land for the children is given of the whole earth, that you may live long on the earth, it says. That promise, the physical aspect of that promise, not for every individual person at every given time, for every same length of time, but relative to God's purposes, is still there for us today to urge us and urge our children to be obedient, for us to be obedient to our superiors. It's there. It's there. We need it because our faith is weak. Nevertheless, God is good and He is wise. There's wisdom in that. It works. We see it in the Old Testament working. The psalmist doesn't say, you know, I'm more godly than that, God. I don't need no physical blessings to encourage me in obedience. No, He accepts it and He keeps on trucking. And we can do the same thing. Accept God's wisdom. Embrace Jesus Christ who saves us in our soul. He is wise and he knows that we need these kind of encouragements and the physical blessings, but of course never lose sight of the spiritual, the greatest of all blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. The spiritual blessing of wisdom. Let us pray. Glorious Jesus, the Word incarnate, wisdom incarnate. Let us cling to you, God, and be encouraged that through your wisdom we have salvation, for we were foolish before we were saved. And you brought us unto redemption to Jesus Christ and to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. We ask, God, that we will persevere in seeking out wisdom, the preciousness of wisdom, to put it in the right priority, God, in our lives, the wisdom through normal, natural revelation, to be sure, the wisdom of the law, but especially, God, the wisdom of the gospel, that we would never let go of Jesus because we know you will never let go of us. In your name we pray, amen. Let us